Shabbat shalom.
I used to have a strap that I would wear around my neck with my glasses, and vanity grabbed a hold of me and said, "That is for old men." In the first message of the series, "What Commandments Do Messianic Believers Follow?" we began our exploration with the first two commands or life instructions. I am Jehovah, your Elohim, and do not worship any other God but Jehovah. If we follow these two life instructions faithfully, we would be doing well. However, although these are crucial understandings of the relationship we have with Jehovah, there are others which guide us. We know the first five of the 10 life instructions focus on our relationship with Jehovah, and the last five on our relationship with our fellow human beings. The third life instruction is one which is routinely violated even by believers. Do not take the name of Jehovah lightly. Abba Father, I pray that you keep our hearts and our ears open to receive the message that you have for us today. Help us to apply this to our daily lives, so that we can truly walk on your sacred path. Before we go to the heart of this life instruction, we might benefit from an understanding of the concept of the name. The first introduction we have is to be found in Genesis 1, in which we read in the Hebrew, "In the beginning, Hashem created the heavens and the earth." Throughout these years, I have heard many labels attached to the Holy One, blessed be his name. At first count, there are over 120 such labels. But do we really know his true name? Rabbinic Judaism claims we are forbidden to know this true name, the ineffable name. And the rabbis have constructed many fences around it, preventing his name from ever being pronounced. One of these fences is the label Hashem, in Hebrew, the name. However, it is important to note any word we use for the supreme ruler of the universe and the lover of our souls is a circumlocution or a fence which prevents us from pronouncing his ineffable name. If we could, that is. All we know of his name is what he tells Moshe, as we read in Exodus 3:14, "Echye asher echye," I am that I am. Then shortly thereafter, he provided Moshe with the letters Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, which he claimed as the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov, from which many of the fence names have been derived. However, we have no idea about the meaning of those four letters. That, of course, does not stop us from creating meaning when none is given. I remember as a kid traveling in my parents' car, reading license plates and making whole sentences from their letters. I'm sure many of you have done the same. And as I look around, I can see little smiles and giggles of recognition. The human mind sometimes enjoys solving mysteries, don't you think? What labels do most of us in Kahila use? I have heard the following used quite often. God, of course, Jehovah, Elohim, Hashem, Yah, Yahweh, and Adonai. As well, we have used Adonai Yeshua and Jesus the Christ. Of course, there are others used, but this is not the focus of his message for us today. We may explore those sometime later. So let's address the next crucial question. What does it mean to take Jehovah's name lightly? The name of our beloved Abba is Kodesh, holy, set apart. It is sacred. To take his name lightly, then, is to make it common, ordinary, vulgar. You might even say we are trivializing his name when we take it lightly. This is dishonoring and disrespecting his holy, sacred name. We get a full measure of this in Matthew 6, when Adonai Yeshua teaches his disciples to pray, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy." Using any of his names in anger towards a situation or an event may be rightly seen as blaspheming his name, making it vulgar in an expression of anger or frustration. But is it any more vulgar than saying, "Oh my God," when faced with a sudden, startling, or surprising event, when what is meant is anything but thanking Jehovah? Whenever somebody uses the name of our beloved Abba in frivolity or jest, in anger against others or in ridicule, or in surprise, the third commandment has been violated. And those who utter his holy name in these ways are opening themselves to the retribution which comes from profaning the holy, his sacred name. Pastor Michael Patton of Credo House claims our current understanding of vulgarity and blasphemy, particularly blaspheming the name, constitutes what he calls folk theology. What does he mean by this? I believe he means our current understanding is not accepting the meaning of this life instruction within its original context, but lifting it from that context and placing it within our 21st century context. When we examine what constitutes the common, the vulgar, contrasting it to the sacred, the holy, we must always ask ourselves the question, what did the author intend for his audience to understand from his writing? Clearly, the third life instruction was given to us at a particular time, in a particular place, and for a particular purpose. Language is a powerful force, and Jehovah, who is the creator of language, knows this. He inspired Solomon to write in Proverbs 10, "The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off." And, "The lips of the righteous know what is wanted, but the mouth of the wicked knows deceit." And in Ephesians 4 we find, "Let no harmful language come from your mouth, only good words that are helpful in meeting the needs, words that will benefit those who hear them." And so perhaps it's a surprise to us all that being politically correct is not necessarily following the third commandment. As much as we may believe the third life instruction is speaking about the vulgar as well as the profane, it is not focused on what we think of as socially inappropriate language. It is specifically dealing with using Jehovah's name in a common or a vulgar context for a common or a vulgar purpose. Now, what I'm about to share with you may not be something you wish to hear, but let's get real. Not everything in Scripture is something we wish to hear. First, to call upon the utter destruction of a person, as in using Jehovah's name to claim a person's eternal damnation, said in an empty, frivolous way, is using his name lightly and will result in judgment against the one who speaks. However, calling for a person's destruction when an injustice has been done, as harsh and as blasphemous as it may sound, is biblical and is not breaking the third commandment when used in the correct context. Please allow me to explain before you hang and quarter me. Throughout the Psalms, we read phrases which use the concept of damning others liberally. For example, in Psalm 35, we find David asking Jehovah, "May destruction come over him unawares. May the net be concealed, catching himself. May he fall into it and be destroyed." This passage carries with it the same connotation as asking Jehovah to damn David's enemies. Was he allowed to do that and not face Jehovah's wrath? In Matthew 7, Adonai Yeshua teaches, "Don't judge so that you won't be judged. For the way you judge others is how you will be judged. The measure with which you measure out will be used to measure to you." Does this mean we do not have the right to ask for Jehovah's retribution to fall on those who commit evil against us? Again, the Psalms, particularly 109, "When they attack, let them come to shame. Let my adversaries be clothed in confusion. Let them wear their own shame like a robe. Certainly, these two verses are much more elegant and intelligent than the use of the colloquial. However, they mean exactly the same thing. Judge them, O God, and send them their just due. Going back to Matthew 7, Adonai Yeshua is not commanding us not to judge others. His words are intended to grab our attention and are advising us to be cautious in how we act and speak. In effect, he is saying to us, be careful about judging others, for the way in which you judge others, you yourself will be judged. In John 7, Adonai Yeshua is reported as teaching, stop judging by surface appearances and judge the right way. Here again is a similar caution concerning judging as we find in Matthew 7. Does this mean we have the license to ask Jehovah to damn anyone we wish to be damned for whatever reason? Of course not. Remember Adonai Yeshua's words. The measure with which you measure out will be used to measure to you. If I call for Jehovah's damnation on someone out of spite, jealousy, or unwarranted anger, I have committed a sin, and I will face the consequences for that should I not repent and ask for forgiveness from both Jehovah and the person I assaulted with my angry words. However, Adonai Yeshua warns us, when we harbor hate or anger towards another, we have committed murder in our hearts, as we read in Matthew 5:21. If we call upon Jehovah to destroy someone we do not like or whom we hate, not because they are persecuting us, but because we cannot forgive them for what we perceive as an injustice which may not be forgiven, we have violated the third commandment.
Thank you.
But what then is meant by taking the name of Jehovah lightly? Here is where I want to move into the world of the believer. For many of us are guilty of having taken the name of Jehovah lightly without realizing what we have done, myself included. Whenever I end a conversation on the telephone or email, I usually use the phrase, "God bless you." If I use this phrase as a prayer and truly mean it, then this is acceptable. However, if I use the phrase without true meaning, without substance, then I have violated the third commandment, "Do not take the name of Jehovah lightly." I think many of us have done the same. Truly, beloved, taking the name of Jehovah lightly is a serious occurrence. In the ancient world, a world where there were many different gods, come to think of it, that's the world in which we live today. The use of God's name was intended to give the speaker power. For example, a prophet of Baal or Marduk might invoke the deity's name in the following context. "In the name of Baal or Marduk, I claim you will win this battle." This would claim the authority of the pagan god and allow the false prophet to act under that authority. Although there was no real authority passed from an idol to a prophet, those who heard and believed would change their behavior. This gave the prophet and the idol much credibility, especially if the battle was won. Jehovah does not want his people to use his name in order to convey authority when such authority is not given. Let's examine how this happens. When was the last time you heard somebody say, either directly to you or through television or internet, "Thus said the Lord," or "God told me to tell you," or "I have a word for you from Adonai," or "God says, if you send me this much money, you will be blessed"? If the people who made these pronouncements have not been anointed by Jehovah to make them, they are in violation of the third commandment. Why is this such a serious undertaking? Appropriating Jehovah's authority as one's own without his expressed permission damages his divine reputation. It is demeaning the name of Jehovah. Are you able to think of a more trivial way to injure the name of our Creator than to misappropriate his power or his authority? Are we aware of how we are fitting into the desires of the adversary by doing so? For me, this way of trivializing the third commandment is an egregious sin, since it is usually done by those who ought to know better, his people, the leaders of his people, believers in Jehovah and Adonai Yeshua. How else do we take his name lightly? We are often in situations in which we are required to make a promise or oath. And Dan introduced us to that in his drash this morning. If we make that oath using a name of Jehovah, or with heaven, the seat of Jehovah, or Adonai Yeshua, and do not take that oath seriously, then we have violated the third commandment. Adonai Yeshua in Matthew 5 taught, "Again, you have heard that our fathers were told, do not break your oath and keep your vows to Adonai. But I tell you not to swear at all, not by heaven, because it is God's throne, not by earth, because it is his footstool, and not by Yerushalayim, because it is the city of the great king. Don't swear by your head, because you can't make a single hair white or black. Just let your yes be simple yes and your no a simple no. And I would add, don't swear on your mother's head and don't swear on your father's head. For by doing so, you have violated the fifth commandment. Could this be any clearer to us? When we make an oath or a promise and invoke any of these power sources to give that promise or oath more power or credence, we are opening a door for evil to enter. It is hard enough these days to keep simple promises, let alone complex ones. We don't need to invoke a power which does not belong to us in order to announce how seriously we take what we have assumed. As Adonai Yeshua said, a simple yes or no will suffice. Remember what Jehovah commanded us in Leviticus 19. Do not swear by my name falsely, which would be profaning the name of your God. I am Adonai. From Exodus 20, the phrase I wish us to consider carefully is the following. Because Adonai will not leave unpunished someone who uses his name lightly. Indeed, Jehovah's wrath will fall upon those who use his name frivolously or lightly or with contempt, those who misappropriate his name for their own gain, those who attempt to intimidate or control others through invoking his name inappropriately. Another way in which we take the name of Jehovah lightly is through false pretenses. When we claim Adonai Yeshua's name in order to give our name's credibility, in essence, for our personal gain or advantage, we are committing a sin. Remember clearly his warning to the disciples and by extension to us as found in Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do what my Father in heaven wants. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we expel demons in your name? Didn't we perform many miracles in your name? Then I will tell them to their faces, I never knew you. Get away from me, you workers of lawlessness. Clear example of this may be seen in a recent speech by the American president, Barack Obama, when he said to representatives of the American wing of Planned Parenthood, thank you, Planned Parenthood. May God bless you. By doing so, President Obama was in violation of the third commandment, since he was supporting their move to increase abortions in the United States and the world. In Canada, Prime Minister Harper, although being pressured by the G7 nations, funded Planned Parenthood in countries only in which abortion is illegal. Let me be very clear, though. I am not advocating the use of vulgarity in everyday language. Scripture makes it clear the use of such language is wrong, as we read in Ephesians 5. Also out of place are obscenity and stupid talk, or coarse language. Instead, you should be giving thanks. As I have shared with you before, language is a very powerful tool. It may be used to uplift and encourage, or it may be used to put down and discourage. As believers of the Most High Elohim, we are commanded to keep paying attention to one another in order to spur each other on to love and good deeds. And, as we read in 1 Peter 4, keep loving one another earnestly. And in Ephesians 4, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. Beloved, I cannot stress sufficiently the need to keep the third life instruction, the third commandment. Being aware of the many ways in which we may fall into the adversary's trap of violation. Under no circumstances ought we to misappropriate his power or authority, assume his anointing, or claim his name for our personal advantage. In humility and prayerful consideration, I urge all of us to be mindful of our language at all times. We are his children. We are his people. Abba, Father, I pray for your guidance and support as we strive to live out your commandments, your life instruction in our daily lives. Abba, I ask you to give us the understanding of what is appropriate, where we may cross the line, and to convict us when we have done so, so we may repent at the moment. Abba, Father, I ask this in your beloved name. B'shem Yeshua Moshiachenu. Amen.